Welcome to the VCU Basketball Update. I'm Wayne Epps. Here is Zach Joakim. We're going to wrap up VCU's non-conference play and talk a little bit about A-10 play. We just got started last night, Thursday night against Fordham. So VCU's non-conference finished 10-3. Mm-hmm. It was one game better than last year. They went 9-4 in conference last year. You know, a couple loss opportunities and, you know, the losses to Purdue and Tennessee, both three-point losses in the Emerald Coast Classic, but had the quality win at home against LSU on a resume. Win at College of Charleston is a pretty good win as well. Defense has continued to be the story. It sort of became the standard last year. The defense kind of carried them throughout the year last year. Teams are shooting the ball a little bit better against VCU so far this year. But VCU has sort of been adept in this, I call them the disruptive plays. You know, they're leading the country in steal percentage, forcing a lot of turnovers, forcing a high number of blocks as well. Just kind of, kind of getting teams out of sync, getting teams out of whack, and they're scoring points off those turnovers, which is sort of the way they want to play. So even though, teams are shooting the ball better, which has been mostly because of the three ball, they're still playing pretty good defense and still, capitalizing off their opportunities when they're forced turnovers. On the offensive side of the ball, they shot the ball better themselves, particularly from three, but kind of overall. There was some talk, kind of earlier in December when they played in Missouri State about how they weren't quite getting the production they wanted inside. Their two-point percentage, isn't the greatest. Marcus Santos-Silva's obviously been kind of automatic there, but they kind of wanted a little bit better aggression from some of their other players inside. But they're shooting the ball from deep a lot better, led by, players like Malik Crowfell, who's been out. But freshmen has come in, like Bones Highland shot the ball well. Marcus Evans shot the ball well. So it's kind of been across the board improvement from three, which was sort of a deficiency last year.
Still streaky as a team a little bit, which was a problem that we highlighted at different points last year. The last two games have been pretty good, though. So it seems like they're finding their stride going into conference play. Something we talked about with the defense, and we saw it in the Fordham game and the Loyola game, is to start the second half. It seems like a lot of the time they have that big run in them where, like you said, they create a few turnovers and they build some momentum, and then things just snowball on the other team, right? And part of that is a product of the Army mentality that Rhodes talks about all the time. When you have so many guys to rotate, it just wears down another team, both mentally and physically. And we've seen that in the last two games to start the second half. VCU, I believe it was, last night, a 7-point game, and then Bones hits the three from the corner to go into halftime. It's a 10-point game, and VCU was really able to stretch it out to start that second half. And it seems like that's become a repeat trend here for them, that even when they aren't able to find it offensively at different stretches in the game, that the defense can show up for them and get them easy baskets in transition and get them going, and then the three starts to fall.
Yeah, 100%. And even earlier in that first half, like a little under 9 minutes to go, they really started forcing more turnovers, which Fordham is a team that they hadn't allowed a ton of turnovers coming in. It was about 12.8 per game. But VCU forced like 8 turnovers in like the final 10 minutes of the game, final 9 minutes of the game, final 9 minutes of the first half. And that's when they first started pulling away. And then, like I said, Fordham went on that little spurt to cut it back close before Bones hit the three at the end of the half to make it a 10-point halftime advantage. Then, like you said, they come out hot and to start the second half with two quick threes prompting a timeout. And then later on in the second half, they went on a 16-1 run and really pulled away.
So, Mikel and Dariante, I think, were those two threes to start the second half.
Yeah, yeah. And, after it being a 10-point game, those were, all of a sudden you look up with a 16-point advantage and Fordham called timeout. And then VCU was able to kind of just keep the foot on the pedal from there and pull away. It was kind of a slow end to the game. They didn't have the best end to the game from the field shooting-wise, but they already had built the advantage big enough where that wasn't too much of a concern by that point. But
they were trying to get a few different guys a bucket, seemed like, as well, right? I think Jaron had a couple opportunities. And then Isaac, who's been struggling, it seemed like everyone wanted him to see one go down and see if he can turn things around offensively.
Yeah, yeah, it was a little struggle for him last night. Finished 0-7 from the field. It's not really characteristic for him. We've seen a couple of the seniors struggle. Like Marcus had some struggles, a couple weeks ago. Ended up having a really good floor game last night. 7 points, 2 or 3 from the field, season high 6 assists to just 1 turnover. Now Isaac seems to be on a little bit of a down period. So you expect them to break out of it. The seniors have kind of been through those slumps before. But, definitely was kind of a rough night for him last night. But
and I think something you worry about with Isaac, too, is he has a lot of defensive responsibility, mm-hmm. right? Almost night in and night out, he's asked to guard the best player on the other team.
Yeah.
And we didn't really see it a whole lot last year. Maybe we're seeing it this year as that starts to weigh on you offensively and you're not able to get into a rhythm when you have so much responsibility on the defensive end.
Yeah, yeah. I think that definitely can play a part. He's kind of has been designated since last year being that guy who defends the opposing team's best player. And like you said, that's a lot throughout the course of a game. maybe doesn't allow you to get into the rhythm you want to get into offensively. So yeah, it's definitely something to watch. One thing about UC though is like they spread the wealth pretty well. So maybe one night it will be his night. He gets the ball a little bit more, gets a chance to get going a little bit more. That was one thing he didn't really feel like had too many opportunities to kind of drive to the basket as much as like Dereonte and Mikal and some of the other guys did. So maybe that's what it takes, is just a couple, you know, easy baskets at the rim and get a rhythm going, and maybe kind of, you know, stretch it back outside and hit a couple of threes, and all of a sudden, you know, you're up 10-15 points and you're doing well. So that might be all it takes. So obviously he'll be okay, but yeah, it definitely hasn't been the best stretch for him recently. Kind of talking about looking at the league as a whole, last night was opening night for the league-wide for the conference. Most of the teams kind of getting conference play underway. The conference at this point is a lot better than it was at this point last year or at the end of last year. Heading to play Thursday, there were 6 A-10 teams in the top 100 of the net rankings. There is actually 7 at this point after the rankings updated on Friday after Thursday night's games. There's back to 7 teams in the top 100. At the end of last season, there was only 3. And everyone was talking about how it was sort of a down year for the conference. Only 2 teams in the NCAA tournament, in VCU and St. Louis, which was their lowest in over 10 years. So the conference looks to be better.
It's a 4-bid league this year.
Sort of what the league has gotten used to, having at least 3-4 teams in the conference, or 3-4 teams in the NCAA tournament. So it definitely looked capable of that this year. You know, there were 6 teams who entered conference play with double-digit wins. There was none last year. So I do wonder about some of the strength of schedules.
Duquesne and Richmond, there's a few that seems like it could be fool's gold, yeah.
Yeah, so we'll really see as conference play really gets underway here how good some of these
Mason
teams
too.
Are. Yeah, just how good some of these teams are. But it's at least optimistic heading in. At least looks a lot better. And I think around the country, the talk is the league looks to sort of be back in a way, and there's a lot more depth in the league this year.
You have more opportunities to build your resume in the conference this year. So right. It's somewhat concerning going into conference play that you're essentially hanging your hat on one win, mm-hmm. right? You're hanging your hat on the LSU game if you're VCU. You've had right. a few close losses on neutral courts to what are going to be ranked NCAA tournament teams mm-hmm. in Tennessee and Purdue by the end of the year. Mm-hmm. So at the end of the year, the committee could look at those favorably, but you're still kind of concerned with we have one legitimate win. Also, one true road win, any true road wins? They barely played any true road games.
Yeah, College Charleston.
Okay,
one
true road win. Yeah. So that's not a whole lot going mm-hmm. into conference play. So it's encouraging to know that you have more opportunities with those top 6 teams, mm-hmm. the George Masons and the Duquesnes and the Richmonds that mm-hmm. have built pretty good out-of-conference resumes, but might not be exactly what they're built up to be because they've played some pretty easy teams on their schedule.
Right.
So you'd hope that plays into VCU's favor as we get into conference play here.
100%. And, you know, asking Mike Rose about that this past week heading into conference play, just about the strength of the league. You talked about that's why you're in the A-10. That's why VCU wants to play in a league like the A-10 because it gives them opportunities like this. Like they're going to have multiple opportunities for quadrant one, quadrant two wins. And they kind of, like you said, fortify the resume, even though they only have one super quality, high quality win in non-conference over LSU. They have the opportunity to get more. Looking at the likes of Dayton.
Those Dayton games are going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah. And that's one of the other things. Like their schedule is tough. Like they're playing a lot of the other top teams of the conference twice. They'll play Dayton twice, Richmond twice. Rhode Island twice, Davidson twice, which Davidson hasn't probably performed quite as good as some people expected, in non-conference. They were picked 2nd in the league behind VCU. They're missing a couple key pieces. Luke Frampton took a personal leave of absence. He's going to be out for the rest of the year. And Keyshawn Pritchett hasn't played. He's dealing with a knee issue. So there's not, I guess, full strength as people expected them to be, but they still have, you know, Kellen Grady and John Axel Goodmanson, 2 preseason first team players. So they still have a lot of talent. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So I wouldn't be surprised at all if they kind of click into gear here in A-10 play and still finish top 4. So again, VC plays them twice. and they play at St. Louis, who has looked good too. So
I was gonna say, it seems like every year VCU has one of those against one of the other top teams. They only play at their place, mm-hmm. and maybe that's just from a VCU fan perspective. It seems like it shakes out that way every mm-hmm. year, but it seems like VCU gets an unfortunate circumstance where they only get. So I think last year it was Davidson. They only got to play at Davidson and didn't get them at home. So that St. Louis game is going to be big.
Yeah, and that's always the outlier, right? Like that's the farthest road trip that you're going to have. They had, what was it, 2 seasons ago, they had the crazy overtime game there. So you know, it's a tough place to play out there.
That and Bonaventure.
Yeah.
Probably, right. Yeah. The two toughest road trips in the A-10.
Yeah. So that's going to be a tough one. Again, it looked good. That's sort of one of the reasons why the league has been so good. St. Louis, like Dayton and you know, some other teams in the conference, VCU obviously too, have just so many experienced pieces back. Like, I remember looking at things at the end of last season, looking at the end of the year preseason or end of the year all conference teams, like most of those players were juniors, sophomores, and you're like, man, like these guys are gonna be back next year and it's gonna make the league even tougher. And it's kind of played out that way where you have so many experienced pieces who are back and playing well. Michigan State, they were picked third in the league, but they look like sort of the
cream. I don't think anybody expected this.
No.
They look nationally elite.
They look like the cream of the crop right now. And the most impressive was actually probably a loss. You know, they took Kansas to Brink in the Maui Invitational. They were right there. And Kansas ended up pulling away a little bit in overtime, but they took them to overtime and had a really good chance to win that game. But they have other quality wins like Georgia, Virginia Tech, so St. Mary's. So they play well. Obi Toppin, it looks like the player of the year right now. He's playing ridiculous. And, they had a couple of transfers who were playing well, too. So, like you said, those games, VCU Dayton games, they were good games last year. They're going to be really good games this year. So it's going to make for a fun conference year. I don't know if VCU is going to be able to piece together a 16-2 conference record. That was a program record for conference wins last year. So against a conference like this year, that's going to be tough to reach that kind of level again. But you expect them obviously to be top four, get that bye in the A-10 tournament. They'll be right there with, I think, Dayton obviously will be in the top four too. And
hopefully you don't need to run through it roughshod like they did last year, right? That's part of the encouraging element of how good the conference is mm-hmm. that you can split with Dayton and be fine, and you can split with Rhode Island and be fine. And, you know, those you can afford maybe four losses. 14-4 might be more realistic this year as mm-hmm. far as what's on your wish list as a VCU fan.
Yeah, definitely. We talked about the Fordham game a little bit, but obviously you always want to get off to a 1-0 start. Every team wants to do that. So I think that was a good performance for them, a complete performance for them, just to get off on the right foot heading to conference play. Now they get into some tougher games. They have Jordan Mason on Sunday, which is always a tough place to play. But VCU had, you know, one of their, I guess, signature performances there this past March, kind of as they closed their 12-game win streak to finish conference play last year. They held on to 36 points, which is a program record. So, they play well. They kind of have some younger guys who are stepping up right now and playing well, like Jordan Miller, who was a guy who had his red shirt pulled during the season last year and kind of ended up playing midway through last year. And now he's their leading scorer this year. So they've had some younger scorers kind of step up and play well. Play pretty good defense. So and I think they definitely remember what happened in March. So I think it's going to make for, a tense game potentially.
Bit of a grudge match.
Yeah. So we'll see how that plays out. But, VCU, just like I said, VCU might not go 16-2, there might not be a whole lot of margin for error by the time it gets down to the end of things. So you don't want to get clipped, this early in conference play. So
those top four spots are going to be highly contested.
Yeah, very. So, we'll kind of see how that shakes out. But, that game tips off at noon on Sunday. So definitely follow richmond.com for all the coverage.